morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about a new touchscreen voting system and wild bison relocation. It's Tuesday, August 27th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A man who federal agents said talked about joining the Islamic State and attacking random people to avenge a mosque shooting in New Zealand has reached a plea agreement. Fabjan Al-Mehdi is scheduled to plead guilty Wednesday in Missoula to two counts that charge he lied to a federal officer about making those comments to an informant. The Montana Secretary of State's office plans to sign off on a new touchscreen voting system designed for voters with disabilities that could be used at county polling sites as early as this November. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
The Express Vote system resembles a touchscreen desktop computer or ATM. Voters insert a ballot, scroll through pages of candidates or initiatives and make their picks, and then hit print. The system includes audio, visual, and other aids designed to help individuals with disabilities vote.
When you are satisfied with your selections, press the right arrow key to proceed.
A separate machine does the vote counting. The Secretary of State's office and system developer ES&S ran demonstrations of the device Monday in the state capitol ahead of an official certification event scheduled Tuesday. Staff with the Secretary's office say the Express Vote system is replacing an outdated device that was also designed for people with disabilities from the early 2000s. The state is using $750,000 from a $3 million federal grant to buy the equipment, with counties chipping in matching funds if they want to take part in the upgrade. According to Election Director Dana Corson, Lake, Gallatin, and Shodo are the only counties not using the grant funds to buy the $3,500 Express Vote machines. Until this year, ballots from Express Vote would have been illegal in Montana. Lawmakers, with near unanimous backing during the most recent session, created a new exemption so election ballots wouldn't have to all look alike. While voting officials say upgrading the system was necessary, the idea was initially met with resistance from some disability rights advocates, concerned about voter privacy with the potential for a small number of people with disabilities turning in ballots that looked different from traditional ballots. The bill was amended to require local election officials to encourage people with and without disabilities to vote on the machines. Beth Brenneman with Disability Rights Montana says the new voting system is a positive step for voter access.
These are machines that people generally like.
But she says it's unclear how user-friendly the device will be. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
The relocation of two grizzly bears in northwest Montana last week has the area on alert for increased bear activity heading into the fall. A Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks release says the agency captured a 2-year-old male just east of Kalispell last Tuesday and a 2 to 3-year-old female southwest of Whitefish Wednesday. FWP spokesperson Dylan Tabish says the area is experiencing good berry crops this year, and that could amplify bears' seasonal activities.
They're trying to eat as many calories as they can before going into the den for a few months. They are coming down into folks' yard eating just about anything they can.
The Kalispell grizzly had begun eating from garbage can, which Tabish said could lead to food conditioning. The Whitefish bear seemed habituated but had not found human food. Both were relocated to a remote part of the Flathead National Forest. Tabish doesn't think northwest Montana can eliminate fall bear relocations.
I think it's just part of our daily life here in Montana, living in a wild place with wild animals.
Tabish says homeowners can prevent problems by putting trash, birdseed, chickens, and even domestic fruit like crabapples out of the reach of bears. Billings Clinic has begun a program to help train psychiatrists with the hope some will stay in Montana, where there is a shortage. The Billings Gazette reports the first class of 3 residents began their studies in July. Billings Clinic's program is part of the University of Washington Psychiatric Residency Training Program. Students will spend their first 2 years of their residency in Seattle and the final 2 at Billings Clinic. As it grows, the program will have 12 residents, 3 in each year of study in Billings and Seattle. Psychiatrist Julie Kelso, director of the residency program, says Montana is working to improve access to mental health care by increasing the number of psychiatrists, using telemedicine to reach patients in outlying areas, and having physicians consult with psychiatrists on less serious cases. Fifty-five wild bison were successfully relocated from Yellowstone National Park to the Assiniboine and Sioux tribes of the Fort Peck Indian Reservation last week. This was the first direct transfer from the park to the tribes through a quarantine program to make sure bison are disease-free. Rachel Kramer reports.
A caravan of 6 trucks and trailers bring up the last batch of bull bison Friday midday. They drive into one of the reservation's quarantine corrals, 120 acres of rolling hills carpeted with yellow wildflowers and native grass. After lining up the trailers, the drivers give a nod and quickly open the doors. Bison leap out and run across the prairie, kicking up dust. A local group called Tatanka Oyate Singers perform a song that translates to, "The buffalo are coming, again they are coming." This moment is about 8 years in the making. For the tribes, the return of bison represents a return of their culture. For Yellowstone National Park, the transfer highlights an alternative to sending the national mammal to slaughter. And for the state of Montana, the assurance that these bison are disease-free means they cannot spread brucellosis to cattle. Cam Shawley is Yellowstone's superintendent.
It's a great time to celebrate, but a lot of work to do still on this front. And this first 55, I think, is very symbolic, and we'll be continuing to work toward what the future looks like and figuring out how we can expand these numbers in the future.
Yellowstone's bison population is currently around 4,500, and it grows about 10 to 17% every year. The park's borders do not. In 1995, Montana sued the Park Service over bison that migrated out of Yellowstone onto state land. It was largely due to concern about a bacterial disease called brucellosis. It can spread between cattle, elk, and bison if animals come into contact with infected afterbirth and causes pregnant animals to abort their fetuses. There hasn't been a confirmed case of bison spreading brucellosis to cattle, but wildlife officials say this is in large part due to management, hazing bison out of areas where cattle graze and keeping the herd size from getting too large. More than 10,000 bison have been killed over the past several decades after leaving Yellowstone. Some of it is through tribal and public hunting, but most occurs through a controversial ship-to-slaughter program. Last winter, about 350 bison were captured and sent to slaughter facilities. Cam Shawley wants this to change.
These 55 that we brought up here today, had they not gone through quarantine successfully, probably would have been shipped to slaughter. So the more that we can expand the quarantine program, the better we are at it, the less likely that we'll have to ship as many bison to slaughter in the future.
The 55 bull bison were isolated in double-fenced pastures in Yellowstone and regularly tested for about a year and a half to 2 years to make sure they were brucellosis-free. They'll stay at Fort Peck's $600,000 quarantine facility for another year and get tested every 6 months to complete the final stage in the quarantine program. The program started with Shawley's predecessor, Dan Wink. 52 quarantine bison were intended to go to the Fort Peck Reservation, but activists released the animals in January 2018.
People are very passionate about bison. They have different viewpoints. There's a lot of people that oppose shipping bison to slaughter. I am one of them. Right now, we don't have a lot of alternatives. We're working on those things. But we felt the operation this week needed to fly under the radar a little bit until we knew the bison were up here safely.
Robbie Magnin, the director of the tribe's Fish and Game Department, says some of the bulls that arrive today will stay with the 350 adult bison at Fort Peck, but most will be sent to other tribes, zoos, and organizations after they pass through the final quarantine phase. Magnin says hunting bison on tribal land is better than waiting for them to leave Yellowstone in winter.
This way, we can harvest them when we need them. We don't have to do it all at one time and have too much. A lot goes to waste when you do that. And this way, a good rancher will harvest these animals when they're nice and fat. And the way they've been doing it in Yellowstone is that they're pretty much skinny and they're looking for more food.
In February, 5 bison bulls were sent to Fort Peck Reservation after going through a quarantine run by the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, north of Gardner, Montana. They were then sent to Wind River Reservation in Wyoming in June through a historic agreement between the Fort Peck tribes and the Eastern Shoshone. With the two channels through APHIS and Yellowstone, more bison can get through the quarantine program to help start or bolster bison herds around the U.S.
Ever since the beginning, they took care of us. Now things have changed. The bison are in need of help, and as a Native American, we need to step up and help them.
Yellowstone plans on sending a group of female bison under quarantine to Fort Peck Reservation in about a year and a half. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.